Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Bob Ney, the former congressman from Ohio, on from Talk Radio News. There's always so much giving going on in Washington. In other words, all that flows out, we take and we crunch it around. And as usual, there's plenty to talk about on this version of America Tonight, of course, with Bob. Bob, I heard you're a little under the weather. What is going on? It's like the whole country's been bombed. People either have the flu, they're exhausted, they've got strep like me, they have crazy colds they can't get rid of. It's like we've hit the plague.
Well, I was kind of like, I was proud. I went through three grandkids were sick, and my kids were sick, and I went through it all, and, you know, no problem. I don't catch things, and boom, I was the last one. So, I don't know. It's everywhere. Just everywhere. You can't get rid of it.
You were bragging. That's the problem. You got to, like, touch wood, knock on things, and cross
bad
your fingers.
Karma.
Yeah, bad karma, baby. All right, speaking of bad karma, what's going on here? The Republicans are moving their plans on this whole border bill thing, and your pal John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, is saying, hey, we might have had a few problems in actually bringing some of these bills to the floor, but we got it together now, man. What's going on with that?
You know, a brand new Congress, you never take a bill to the floor of the Speaker's backing. If you don't have the vote, you don't take it. That's just the way it is. And, you know, you don't take something, you lose. And they had to pull that bill. They had to pull, of course, the abortion bill last week temporarily. And now they've got a problem on the Benghazi committee. They don't know how to get out of that thing. You know, that's went on ad nauseum. So it just shows, I think, lack of leadership and a lack of ability to simply count votes or talk at least to your caucus. You know, both parties do that to get a feel of things. You take a whip count, and then you discuss these things. But it's just, the immigration bill was the way out of not being able to stop the president, and the way out then got pulled. Of course, it was, quote, because of the snow.
And, you know, while all that's happening, too, it's, you know, McConnell on the other side, you look at the Senate, exactly, and they're talking about this, the House pass measure next week after, you know, picking that up after Keystone, but they're going to vote on repealing executive actions on immigration. Do you really think that that's going to go anywhere?
No, and as I told people before, I know the Senate, you know, was taken over by the Republicans, but because of the system they have over there, the cloture vote, you have to have 16 on a simple majority. The Democratic side can still be very, very strong in this, always, really, unless they want to do what they call the cute little nuclear option. Harry Reid talked about that. The problem is each party gets in control, then they don't want to change, you know, the 60-vote cloture rule instead of a simple majority, which is what it really should be, simple majority. But they ought to really kind of pass something, probably, Kate, and say, okay, it takes effect, you know, in 2 years from now, no matter who controls the chamber. But for the Democratic side, I think the Democratic side, if they hold together, can stop some things that they simply just don't want, or maybe make a compromise and they can actually have some meaningful legislation pass.
Yeah, and this is going to be really, I think, the talk of the whole year. I mean, this is going to, we're going to see all kinds of things roll all over the place with this one. This may be the biggest issue, do you think?
It is, and the big bombs coming up with Netanyahu and the president and you know, everything that's going on there with Iran, which could be one of the most major deals in three decades to actually start to contain their nuclear, you know, ambitions. Today, actually, the White House won. The Democratic side said, okay, we're giving this some time. So, actually, the White House won today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no question about that. How about this? You and I talked about the Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl,
yeah,
who disappeared, wandered off the base in Afghanistan back in 2009. And, of course, we reliving all the nightmare details of the five for him from Gitmo and all that kind of stuff. So what do you make of what happened here with this whole desertion thing?
It's a he said, she said the military was denying. National News was reporting he was going to be charged with desertion. Maybe a lesser charge, you know, could be done. I don't know. But with some assurity, they're coming on saying, no, he's going to be charged with something. But I think we always knew there was a question. Now, it'll go to, I saw some ugly things tonight before you know, we should have left him over there. You know, despite whether or not he deserted, you can't let somebody, you know, just languish over there. They can deal with him when he gets back. So still very unclear where they're going with this. His lawyer would not speak on the topic.
Wow. And then there's this other deal. You know, you're talking about sanctions, Iran, the discussion about Iran, but what about Russia? The EU leaders have asked that that foreign ministers basically consider imposing further sanctions on Russia because of all that fighting that's still going on in the Ukraine. I think they would get that pretty easy. What do you think?
I think they will, and it's up to the EU because they're the large trading partner. We aren't. They trade 10 times the amount with Russia. They've got more power and ability. Of course, Putin kind of backs off. Then he goes in. They do little sanctions. He backs off. It's almost like a chess game. The only dangerous thing about Putin is at some point in time, their economy is so bad and the price of oil, the Saudis have kept that, you know, in a false sense, low for their own purposes. You never know what Putin will do. They're selling a lot of arms. So it's something I know we're going to watch. But the EU has a lot of power, I think, with Putin, way above what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's the scoop on Fidel Castro saying he doesn't trust the politics of the U.S.? And you sent this to me, nor have I exchanged a word with him, but this does not mean I reject a Pacific solution to the conflicts. What?
This is interesting. It's comparable to Iran. The foreign minister of Iran is being called to the parliament saying, why did you walk on the streets with John Kerry in Geneva? You know, and, of course, president's being lambasted, you know, with Netanyahu on our side. So each side has this thing going on. Now, Cuba's interesting. Our people went down from our government to set up, you know, how do you do a visa and our embassy and things. And one of them went and met with the dissidents, which didn't go well. But they said, hey, wait a minute, you know, yeah, we're America. We're going to meet with them. But this doesn't mean we're not going to deal with you. Then Castro came out, not on audio. You know, he may not even have written it because I don't know what condition he's in. But it was announced at a college that Castro said he doesn't trust the United States. But this is the way to deal, you know, talking back and forth. So it's not a divorce. It's just sort of a little give and take.
It's not a divorce. You know, I don't think you and I ever talked about this, but I was wondering this the other day. Have you ever been to Cuba?
That's very interesting. I was invited to Cuba. I met with Elian Gonzalez's father. I wanted to hear for myself in private whether he was being forced or not. I met with him, which didn't go down well with some of my colleagues. I was invited to Cuba. I was going to go. Ended up I couldn't go because of some sickness in my family. So I sent a staffer down there who actually got a phone call at 11. A few staffers went down, Democrat and Republican, and they got called in to eat. And they brought some cigars back. You know, of course, members of Congress have Cuban cigars illegally for years.
Right.
So I had a nice cigar, but I didn't make it down there. But I felt that way back then, that's probably 1998, I thought, hey, you know, let's go see for ourselves.
Yeah, boy, those staffers, do they send you great Christmas cards after that and give you good presents?
I actually yelled at the staffer. He came back and he was so happy. He said, these are Castro's personal rolled cigars. They gave them out a few people. And I said, what's wrong with you getting to sign the cigar box? It would go on eBay.
Oh,
never satisfied.
No kidding. Here's the great news about that, Bob. You did not get in trouble for that, at least.
No. Oh, they would have to imprison the entire Congress for years. If you want a good Cuban, go in the back of the floor of the House.
I love that. I love that you can get them in if you go visit somebody in Congress. All right, next time I'm up there, I'm going to say, Bob Ney told me.
Just don't ask John Boehner. He smokes Barclays.
All right, I won't ask. I won't ask Boehner. Bob Ney, Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237. 6-2-2-3-7, extension 129.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Crossroads on America Tonight. A couple of quick nuggets for you, then we're going to go to old school, new school. There is a big debate on the Hill, when isn't there, about everything from immigration on down. But the White House is looking for $534 billion base defense budget, using $51 billion for wars. The generals are worried about a cap on defense, saying that that would be a huge mistake. So once again, this always is the tug of war. How much do we need? What is it we need? What are we cutting out? The Pentagon's base budget request really is in line with what they projected they would need for 2016, but it is $35 billion above the spending cap for the 2016 fiscal year. So remember, the whole cap thing was set to hold down defense budgets to try to slash $1 trillion in spending in over a decade. So I think we're going to hear a lot about this, about weaponry, about how do we fund the conflict against the Islamic State militants in Iraq and Syria, and where could we possibly cut, because you think of how much money is being used there. All right, time for a little old school, new school. That's when we invite Minnesotan and the technical maestro for America Tonight, Matt Johnson, into the ring. Hey, Matt.
Hola.
So what's the temperature in Minnesota?
It's been pretty nice the last couple of days, to be honest with you. It's been high 30s, hit the 40s the other day. So it's been very non-winterish around here.
Wow. That's good for the people there.
Yeah, we're getting
for sure.
A melt on up here, actually.
A melt, so the stuff is melting?
Yeah. We've had a couple cars go through lakes recently, too.
Wow. Yeah, and you had something happen with a weird city council up there in Minnesota.
We did. We had a shooting up here. Guy lost his mind a little bit during a city council meeting and tried to attack a couple of people and shot two officers, wounded them. They're doing fine. I think they're in, I don't know, not critical, but the one below that, whatever that is, stable condition.
Stable, yeah.
And then the guy ended up dying from gunshot wounds by the officers returning fire. So a little crazy up here in Minnesota right now.
No kidding. And the one city councilor pulled out a gun. He had a gun.
He's actually a spokesperson, I think, for either the city of Minneapolis Police Department or something like that. I don't remember the exact title he had, but he did work in law enforcement and had a gun on him and was reacting to the situation.
Wow, no kidding. All right, so first old school, new school, own the car like everyone used to just own their car. There's no way you were leasing anything. Own or lease a car. Leasing is very, very popular right now, even for millennials and people in between that. So which are you, own or lease the car?
I'm an own guy because, one, I've never even attempted to lease a car. I've purchased used cars, and I don't know, learning through my dad of how to work on cars and things like that, do general maintenance, I think it's to my benefit to be able to own the car.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm an own person. I have a lot of friends that lease cars. I don't get it. Then they go over the mileage. They freak out about the mileage. And it seems to me like I think you're kind of losing out there with the lease thing, unless it's like a company deal and it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, definitely. But I think if you're going to be taking care of the car and owning it for a longer period of time, it's just more cost effective. And I mean, learning from my dad, I do all my own oil changes. I do, you know, general maintenance, things like that. So an oil change for me costs less than everyone else because I do it myself. I can put in the better oil, the synthetic, so it'll last longer in the engine, and the engine will conceivably last longer, get up into that 200-mile range, 200,000-mile range. So
yeah,
it's just a better deal.
Yeah, I think so, too, because the cars anyway lose their value, so I agree with you. I'm all about owning it. Cigarettes or vaping? Do you see a lot of people vaping now? They get out of cars and they're vaping, and it's definitely millennials, but even older people, lots of people vaping. There's vapor bars and all kinds of things. Right near my house in a 5-mile radius, there's like 10 of them, so that's very big, and somebody told me the other day that less people are smoking cigarettes coming into their store. It was a Shell station by me. He said less people are buying cigarettes because they want to do the vape thing.
I'm kind of a fan of neither, to be honest with you. I used to smoke a little bit when I was younger, and then after you have a couple of drinks, you have a cigarette. I'm not a fan of that anymore. I don't like the smell of it. I don't like how it gets all over your clothes, and I mean, it just reeks. But then at the same time, the vaping thing, I'm not a fan of that either, because that just is, I don't know, there's an odd smell that comes with that. It's not the cigarette smell, but it's almost like a perfume or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the vaping. I think it's just as bad for you anyway in a different way. And so I agree. Cigarettes, old school, vaping, new school, and a combination of both. Yeah, probably not a good idea either way for your health anyway. How about this one? Old school, new school, old school, cool T-shirts. People used to always wear T-shirts. Even, you know, you could be the cute girl or you could be whatever guy and you could wear a T-shirt that said something cool on it about some state or whatever. Maryland is for crabs and or concert T-shirts. And it was acceptable. It was even almost dress gear. And new school is I wouldn't be caught dead in a T-shirt. That, like, there's no way unless it's completely right vintage you wouldn't wear a T-shirt. Which are you?
I don't know where you hang out that people aren't wearing T-shirts anymore. What kind of fancy joints are you going to?
Well, this is Dallas, the second phoniest place in America.
Because I see people in T-shirts all the time. I wear them all the time.
With sayings on them?
What do you mean by sayings?
Like, I went to Disneyland and all I got is this creepy shirt, or, hey, Muggsy's Bar, or whatever.
There's people with T-shirts on of different things.
Okay.
I don't know.
Not just a plain one. Not just a plain...
Right.
T-shirt, you know, V-neck.
No, people wear T-shirts all the time. I don't know where you're hanging out at.
Okay, how about this one? Old school, new school. Old school, no way would you ever zap food in a microwave or anything like that. You would make it on the stove at least. You just wouldn't even when microwaves were starting to come around, you didn't think it was safe. You didn't want to do it. Now, instant food, baby, if you can microwave it, whatever you have to do just to get it down your throat, it's all good. The faster, the better.
I used to microwave everything when you're reheating stuff or just making things quick. And I will still do that if I need to, but I've come around to the idea of reheating things in the oven, and it even tastes better. Like, if you have leftovers from a restaurant, if you pop them in the oven, it'll taste so much better if you do that than if you microwave it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's so funny you say that, because I do the same thing now.
And I just started doing that in the last, like, couple of years.
Yeah, I started doing that in the last year, where even if you take, like, a Lean Cuisine or whatever, because I'm thinking, wow, is this microwave thing that good for me? And that even tastes better, whatever, and especially leftovers. When you put leftovers in the oven, it's way better, I agree. It doesn't take that much time. You just turn on the oven and throw it in there. Okay, how about this one? Going to the library and checking out books, because why would you go to a bookstore and buy a book or peruse or do any of that kind of stuff? Versus I wouldn't be caught dead in the library. That's for when I was in college or high school or whatever.
I can't tell you the last time I was in a library.
There you go.
I don't know, but I don't really check out books either. I do most of my reading online, or I'll buy a book. Or my friends and I trade books, too, because we kind of have similar genres that we like to read. And if somebody buys, like, the new book from that author, it'll kind of slowly get passed around between my group of friends. So I can't tell you the last time I checked out a book from the library. It's got to be years, if non-school related.
All right, that answers that question. I like the library. I have an incredible one by me, but I don't normally always go and do it. Sometimes when I think about it, I'll go to it because it's cool. They have, like, every book imaginable. Plus, they were nice enough to put Level the Playing Field in the stack, so... So I feel like I owe them. All right, how about this? Mom and pop groceries versus BJ's, Costco, Sam's. Oh, we got to go there and load up because we're going to have a barbecue and it's cheaper and we all go in together. Which do you prefer?
I will not hide that I am a big Costco fan. I go there multiple times a week. I think Costco's great. I love it.
Why? Why do you love Costco? What's so good about it? Because you get white socks and underwear and pizza.
No, they have really good deals on things. Like, I just picked up a bunch of LED lights there the other day. I feel like every time I'm there, I'm getting some kind of bargain. Plus, every time you go there, you can get free samples and basically have a nice little mid-afternoon snack from all the free samples they give out.
So the free food and the good deals.
Right, exactly.
But you have to pay yearly to be in Costco.
See, I share a membership with my parents.
Oh, so that's nothing then
for you.
So it's
half for me. So it's really not that much. I think it's like $50 a month. So I'm splitting it in half. So it's like $25, or not a month, a year, I think it is.
Right, so $25 for you, that's
nothing.
I think
that's what it is. I can't really remember, to be honest with you.
I got to go find that out now. All right, old school, new school, it's a wrap.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Hey, guess what? They've got some great deals for Valentine's Day at Guns80.com. They're calling it the Sweetheart Special. Guns80.com has lowered the price way down to $400 up until Valentine's Day. Order your Ghost AR-15 now. Tell your sweetheart that this is the right gift at the right time. Buy one for yourself. Buy one for your sweetheart, too. Your sweetheart will thank you for being so tuned in to his or her needs. Get a brand new Ghost AR-15 right now for $400. Heck, buy two. His and hers. Go to guns80.com or call and ask for the sweetheart deal. Love is in the air at guns80.com. Call now, 844-2-GUNS-80. That's 844-248-6780. It's a sweetheart of a deal. Actually, it's a steal at $400. So call guns80.com at 844-2-GUNS-80. But hurry, supplies are limited. Call 844-2-GUNS-80 or get your Ghost AR-15 today at guns80.com on the web.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
A brush with fame on some well-known museum steps next on the Daily Wow.
My English bulldog, Timothy, used to have hot spots and areas on his side and stuff. His immune system was terrible, and we've taken him to allergists, veterinarians, and we probably spent, probably $300 to $400 every 4 months on him. And one day I heard a Dynavite commercial, and they were talking about it, everything to a T, what Timothy had on his skin rash, his itching, his smell, his ears, everything. So I figured, what the heck, and I got on Dynavite.com.
Dinovite.com.
859-428-1. Ever since he's had Dynavite, he's been a happy camper. Within 3 weeks, his smell's almost gone. His ears have cleared up. His eyes have cleared up. All the neighbors can't believe how good he looks. So now all I have to do is say, do you want your Dynavite? And he runs to where his food is, and he likes it. So I highly recommend Dynavite. Dinovite.com. 859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
Imagine being a tourist in Philadelphia and racing up the Art Museum steps to bump into Sylvester Stallone, who famously scurried up him in the first Rocky. By the way, he graciously posed with a group upon the chance encounter for a selfie. Now that's a souvenir from the city of brotherly love. I'm Kate Delaney with the Daily Wow. Big chunks of the country are covered in snow, or maybe they're uncovered because they've been shoveling all day long. My pal, Mark Goldman, who's connected to another one of my pals who was smart enough to leave New York, Ryan McCormick. They have a fantastic PR media relations firm, but he wasn't worrying so much about that today. He was worrying about shoveling, because he lives in Massapequa and is located in Massapequa, which you might recognize that town in New York because of Jerry Seinfeld, right, for one, or those nasty Baldwin boys who maybe Mark was friends with. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But I'm sure he spent a good chunk of the day unburying his family from the snow. Hey, Mark, so you're still alive, so that's the good news. How bad was it? How much snow fell?
You know, we had about 15 inches in Massapequa, Long Island, and you know, we were expecting a lot more, so I guess it wasn't that bad, but, you know, rather be doing other things than shoveling.
Yeah, so when that starts to happen, because, you know, I grew up in the East Coast, too, as you know,
right.
and what they used to say is you got to get out there and shovel every couple of hours, otherwise forget it. That's when you have a heart attack because you can't even lift all the snow, or you get your blower out and the combination of your blower and your shovel. So what did you have to do, both?
Yeah, absolutely. I did both. We started last night. My wife and I started last night, and we started shoveling and just to, you know, try to get through some of it. And then, again, about 7 a.m. this morning or 7:30 this morning, we took the snowblower out, and then about 2 or 3 o'clock when it all ended, p.m., we did the rest of it. I mean, it was really insane. There's no place to put it either.
Yeah, no kidding. And the schools were closed, right? The girls were off.
Yeah, boy and girl. Yeah, absolutely.
Boy and girl off. Wow.
Yeah.
So they loved it. So they didn't help? Wait, were they building snowmen in the backyard?
Yeah, no, they were inside watching movies all day. They didn't help at all.
What a great dad and mom. Hey, you kids, you watch the Netflix. We'll be out there blowing the snow. No worries.
Exactly. You know the drill.
Yeah, exactly. So on the cover of, like, I guess the New York Post, it said closed, like New York was closed. So really people weren't necessarily bopping around as much in the city, right?
You know what? The city was really, really quiet today. Mass transportation was closed. You know, the libraries were everything. The mail didn't come today. It was horrible. Everything was just closed, and nobody was doing anything today in the New York metropolitan area.
So now everything's okay, right? The flights are going to start get going tomorrow because you got the three major airports, and it'll be a little bit better
on
Wednesday.
That's what we hear. However, they are delaying school tomorrow morning a little bit as well.
Wow. You know why? Because Mayor Bill de Blasio, he doesn't want to get blamed again for all the problems. The last time there was a ton of snow, and the kids were sliding home in the buses home. Remember that?
I do remember that. You know what the greatest thing is? People in New York City are actually blaming the mayor for the weather. Because he promised it would be 30 inches of snow, 20 to 30 inches of snow. And the fact that they only had 5 or 6 inches, he's now getting blamed for that, too. Great. You gotta love it.
No kidding. How'd you like to run a campaign for somebody running for mayor in New York? That'd be wild, wouldn't it?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Only you could do that, you know?
Yeah, right. Be so tough. So the Baldwin brothers, you never ran into them having snowball fights or anything like that, right?
You know what? I haven't. But they all grew up here in this town. Also, like, you know, like you mentioned, Jerry Seinfeld grew up here. And then we also have had a big influx of the organized crime folks.
Oh, well, that's always good. So we got Seinfeld, the mob, and the Baldwins, which
exactly.
You could interchange all those things, I think.
Exactly. Can't go wrong there, right?
Probably. All right. Well, happy shoveling if you have to shovel up a little bit more. And, Mark, thanks for giving us an update on what's going on out there.
Absolutely. Have a great evening.
Hey, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So you heard Mark talk about what it was like in New York and that people were blaming the mayor that it didn't snow more because they thought they were going to have this giant blizzard, although they did in Long Island because you heard that's where most of it happened. I mean, in Connecticut, there was problems, too, as well. There were some areas that got, like, 20 inches of snow. And the blizzard lived up to its name in New England. I know some of you are listening to me in Nashua, and I know that you really got slammed there. In Massachusetts, the entire island of Nantucket lost power for hours. And the storm, I mean, just really blasted everywhere from Long Island, eastern Long Island, to Maine, and not as bad in New York City or, like I mentioned before, Philadelphia or South Jersey. In Marshfield, Massachusetts, the storm was so strong there was a 40 to 50 foot section of a seawall that just boom went, it just was gone, just gone. And in Newport, Rhode Island, there was a 110 foot replica of a Revolutionary War sailing vessel. I've seen it actually. And it was in dry dock and it broke its mast and punctured its hull. I mean, this thing was massive. So there was certainly some wicked winds and force blunt trauma in a different way, if you want to call it that, from a storm. And there were like 50 million people that were right there in the eye of that storm's path. I mentioned that there were thousands of flights that were canceled. Roads were brutal in some areas. Schools were closed. And it just raced through. But it was really New England that seemed to take the brunt of this without a doubt. They got an honest-to-goodness wallop, a blizzard. And, you know, people are saying in Massachusetts they haven't seen a storm like that in a very long time, and they're used to those kinds of storms. And, you know, Boylston Street in Boston, Main Thoroughfare, if you remember, that's where they run, one of the areas that they run down to the tail end of the Boston Marathon. I mean, that was just buried in snow. You know, 18 inches of snow at some point they were measuring. So they had a terrible time of it, record. Some areas they were saying 21 inches, and snow off and on throughout the night. So that is rough stuff. I mean, it's like I was saying to Mark, there is really a science to the whole shoveling thing, and you have to get in front of it. And it's funny, the entire East Coast, the shelves, it looked like that people were going to go in bunkers for weeks because the bread aisles were turned over. There's, you know, no meat. Meat is just at a premium there because everyone's taking every piece of meat from the meat section. And so, you know, Philly, like I said, they look like they were going to be vulnerable. They get just a few inches. But the blizzard canceled so much because they were predicting that. And the snow plows really were shuttled off to Long Island because that's where the gist of it was New York-wise anyway. So isn't that interesting that, yes, there were some awful areas that got completely smashed. And then some of the areas that they thought that were going to be worse didn't get much of anything. That's when the weather people really take it on the chin. That's when they go to the weather wall. You know, on TV is so big for that. And they are predicting all these crazy, crazy things. They make you think, oh my gosh, the roof is going to blow off my house. Are you kidding me? Are you listening to what they're saying? And then when you just get a trinkle, especially in the East Coast, because in the East, you know, people are just going to say what they think, and you start to see the phone lines blow up, and they start to complain about the weather people, like, yo, what are you doing telling us? We're going to get 15 inches of snow, and we got 2 inches, and that was it. So, you know, it's not a precise science, I suppose.
But it's always better, I think, to err on the over estimation than the under, because if these people would have said, oh, we'll get about 5 inches and then they get 3 feet, everybody would be calling for their heads.
Oh, yeah, because then they're out there and they barely have boots on
and
they're
not prepared.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And that's what happens, too. Even when you know you live in Minnesota, I mean, that's where you get tons of snow. So when the weather guy's telling you that, you're believing it because you know you can't get caught in Minnesota in a bad snowstorm. And, I mean, that's the same for some of those places in the East Coast.
Right, and it's one of those things where I think you'd rather be cautious and over-prepared than to get hit on the chin with it, where you're out somewhere, you don't have your boots, you don't have enough gas, you don't have certain things that you need for a blizzard.
Yeah, that would be brutal. Yep. All right. You have a snow story to tell. Tell it. Send it to me, americatonight.net. Coming up next, you're going to love this. You know, just last week was National Handwriting Day. Anybody have the Palmer method when they were kids? You have to go to the board and you have to write out cursive writing. Did you have that? I mean, it's sort of a lost art these days. We talk about it with the king of handwriting next on America Tonight.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
Yeah?
Do you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
You ever hear about Ghost 80% AR-15 rifle kits? At Guns80.com, they are the 80% specialists, helping to protect our privacy. Look, there are forces out there right now trying to register guns for future confiscation. UN treaties threatening our Second Amendment, our freedom. You need a Ghost AR-15. Get it at Guns80.com. Call 844-2GUNS80. That's 844-248-6780. Own an AR-15 today and keep it a secret. Go to Guns80.com. That's Guns80.com. 844-2GUNS80.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
In fact, on Friday, it's National Handwriting Day. Did you know there was such a thing? I think it's very cool that we actually celebrate or acknowledge it. We have David Doc Grayson on the show today. He's in our virtual green room right now. He's probably scribbling or looking at somebody else's scribbles or trying to uncover some mystery because that's the kind of guy that he is. He's considered, in fact, the world's leading handwriting authority. You've probably seen him all over the place. And he's the author of Handwriting Secrets Revealed, the book on handwriting analysis, because there's so much that explains things about humans, about you, about me, etc., personality traits, just by looking at the way you sign things. Hey, Doc, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, you're welcome, Kate. I sure wish I had your handwriting to look at. It'd be fascinating, I'm sure.
I'll send you some of my handwriting, and then you'll come back on. People say I write like a doctor, so I don't know. You can't. I almost scribble. It's, you know, unless I have time.
Doctors, too. That's usually a person with a very quick and fast mind, because the doctor has, you know, 7-8 patients waiting for him, and he's got to go to the hospital later and do all kinds of things. So his mind can't slow down to take time to write perfectly and carefully. So that's why they pretty well scribble. We also call it executive scrawl. A lot of executives write the same way because they're just, their mind's moving 1,000 miles a minute, and they don't have time to dot the I and cross the T's and do things like that. So, you know, it does mean something, and that's why doctors do it that way.
Oh, that's funny. That's exactly how my handwriting is. There's no question about it. What about the big loops? You know, you used to see when you were, I had handwriting when I was a kid in school, and they'd make us go up to the blackboard, and you'd see some of the girls, usually with the high voices, they would have these big loopy L's, and they took a long time to sign their name, and it was just so. What does that reveal?
Well, loops anywhere in the writing is imagination. And, of course, you being a girl at that age, you know there's a lot of imagination that girls have. But when it's up in the upper area, it's kind of imagination of dreaming of what they want to be and how they want to look and those kinds of things. So that's pretty much what that is. The guys have less loops and more angular writing. They just want to go out and have fun and play sports and beat up the other kids and those on the playing field, and so their writing is usually more angular. That's not totally true all the way, of course, but it tends to be that way.
What's happened to handwriting? It used to be that it was such a value. Letter writing was such a valued art. Are you, as somebody who studies it, are you worried that it's kind of gone away because of the computer?
Well, yes, and for a lot of different reasons, but it has gone away because so many school districts now. Even in kindergarten, they give students an iPad, and so they just don't write anymore. Now, Common Core, which is the standard of the United States pretty much, they don't have you instruct in handwriting at all, so that's why it's kind of gone by the wayside. But quite a few states, in fact, seven states in the last 3 years have put handwriting back into the curriculum. What they're finding in studies of the brain, and there's so much study of the brain coming out in the last year or so, that the students who do not learn cursive lack coordination, eye-hand coordination.
Mm.
And it kind of makes sense if you think about it. One of the most intricate things the brain can do is send messages to the fingers to make those little letters all the time. So, you know, it's not taught in schools. I run across high school and college students that don't know how to write, and some even can't read cursive. And it's kind of sad, but it's like everything, especially in education, it's cyclical. It's coming back in some states, and it'll come back, because I'm sure as you get older, you find out you're going to get handwritten notes no matter what. So you've got to learn to be able to write, and you've got to learn to be able to read the writing.
Boy, isn't that true. And you say that if you use handwriting, it's such a great tool in self-discovery. You can find out who you are. You can maybe realize your potential and all you want to be. You can look at your best career path. How does it help you look at your best career path and set bigger goals?
Well, you certainly can look and see if the pattern of your writing fits in more of a business area or a fine arts area or a scientific area. Or entrepreneurship. And the other thing we look in the writing is different letter formations, how you set your goals, your determination, your willpower. Those things kind of tell you what you may be suited for or some options that you have. There's what we call, also kind of reverse, is called graphotherapy. We can also change some things in your writing to improve yourself. We can help you strengthen your determination and increase willpower and personal drive and things of that sort. So the basic things are there, your emotional makeup, how you react to a given situation. Are you ruled by your head? Do you kind of think things through? Or are you kind of a emotional type person? Those things are there and kind of don't change. But a lot of different things we can change. We can find about 144 different traits in the writing. Irritability,
wow.
Tenacity. Persistence.
That's
just
so cool.
A whole lot of things in the handwriting. It's amazing to me even sometimes how much you can get out of a handwriting.
So in all the years that you've done this, and you've had to have, I know you've met some wonderful people, exciting people. What's one of the coolest things that you uncovered in somebody's handwriting or something that just really knocked them over? I know that's a hard question because you probably have many of those moments.
Yes, you really do. The thing that surprises me most is I've done a lot of counseling over the years also. I do a lot of counseling. And when you get their handwriting, you start talking to them about their handwriting. The great thing about that is now they think you know everything. So they really open up. Totally. You know, you don't know everything, of course, but they really think you do. So it's a great foot in the door. But it's so helpful to help people realize, you know, how they, sometimes the biggest thing is how they think. They thought all these years they're dumb, but they're not dumb. They're just slow thinkers. In other words, they have to repeat it over and over again, but once they get it, they know it forever. So it's just helping them understand themselves better, and they really feel, it's like when you're sick. You don't want to hear the bad news, but you do want to know what's wrong with you. With handwriting, you can tell the person how they really are, and usually that helps them a great deal.
When you grew up, you must have had cursive, right?
Palmer Method.
I love that.
I went to grade school in the 50s, so yes, the good old Palmer Method.
Yeah. Did you know you just loved the whole handwriting thing even when you were a kid?
No, I didn't. I wasn't the best writer in some ways. But when I was going for my degree in counseling, step back a little bit. My family was at dinner one time at a restaurant, and a gentleman came around and said, for $2, he will analyze our handwriting. So we each gave him some, and he told me things about myself that I'm a very personal, private person. I was shocked that he knew those things. I was kind of upset because I figured my family somehow told him different things. And when I was taking the course at Loyola about counseling, they talked about different ways to get to know people. And it clicked, and I said, well, wait, handwriting. So I looked up in the phone books then. Remember phone books?
Yeah, I remember phone books.
There's a group in Chicago, the International Graphical Analysis Society, that teaches handwriting analysis. And that was in the early 70s, and I went and I became certified, and I've used it my whole life since. In teaching school, it's phenomenal. I wish every teacher could be a handwriting analyst.
Yeah, no kidding. Is there, we talked about the kind of, when somebody has the scrawl and they scrawl across, and when someone has big loops and whatnot. What about people, I'll see sometimes people just sign like an X for their name, where you can't even identify what it is.
Well, it's interesting you brought that up. The signature is how your public persona, how you want to appear to people. The body, if you write a letter, the body of the letter is really who you are. The signature is who you want to be. That's why I'm sure you're aware if you see the signatures of sports stars and movie stars and television stars, many, many times it's very ornate and fancy and glitzy, and that's kind of the way they want to be. So when you look at the signature, that's kind of how they want to appear. You can't really read the signature, they're hiding something. They don't want you to know that. I don't want you to know I'm Dave Grayson, so I'm going to write my name real sloppy so you can't read it. It's subconsciously saying, I don't want you to know about my private life. So the signature tells a lot about the personal side of the person.
Boy, I love it. It's so fascinating. All started the Palmer Method. Palmer Method. I'm looking up the Palmer Method, although I had cursive, too. I had cursive in school as well. They made us all do that. And
right. In the 60s and 70s, the biggest one was Danielian at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That was by Scott Sporsman.
Mm-hmm. Wow, and I'm glad it's coming back. That's a very, very good thing. If people want to get a copy of your book, how do they do that, Doc?
Two ways. They can go to Amazon.com and Handwriting Secrets Revealed, or they can go to the website, HandwritingSecretsRevealed.com.
Doc Grayson, what a delight to have you on the show. Hopefully I'll meet you sometime down the line, and continued success with the excitement of handwriting. I love it.
Well, thank you, and please do send me your writing, and I'll send you some notes on it back.
That sounds good. Thanks, Doc.
Thank you. Okay,
bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Good night.
Are you always 5 minutes late? Maybe you're only late when you don't want to be somewhere. Then you realize you're always 5 minutes late. For work, you set 3 alarms, drag your feet in the shower, drink your coffee slowly until you're rushing out the door. 5 minutes late. It's not that you hate your job. Hate is such a strong word. You're just not that excited about it. But most people don't love what they do, right? Listen, if you're local to the Twin Cities, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable, and a whiz on the phone, you might want to join one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, GCN. Because right now, we are hiring, and we offer benefits. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, where you'll want to be 5 minutes early every day.